Stand up. Let's recite our memory verse. We probably don't need this on the screen, do we? It's our accountability moment. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Excuse me. Keep going. Good. Excellent. I give her a passing grade tonight. We're going to start out with Worship the King tonight. Then we have a special treat with the second song. Ray's going to bless us with one that he, Lord laid on his heart, and it really fits the study well, I think. But let's start with this. Y'all need to sing out, because my voice, Herb, you want to come sing a duet with me, you can. You just want to be able to see the words, don't you? Oh, you didn't even have them back there yet.
You ready?
I'm there. Well, wait, there, are y'all ready? Y'all aren't ready.
I can't see this either.
All right, here we go.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor,
thank you, Greg. Thank you, Herb. Appreciate that. Just a couple of announcements tonight. You guys all know this is our last week of the Genius of Generosity, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you find your walk with the Lord a lot sweeter as a result of spending this month in that material, and also hope you've just found a deeper joy and satisfaction in giving and living a generous life. And I really pray, it's my prayer, it's your leader's prayer, that this won't be something that just lasts for 4 weeks, but it'll be a lifestyle change. It'll be a way of life for you. And, Greg mentioned we gained a bunch of knowledge, and, knowledge really isn't valuable and doesn't become wisdom until it's applied, until it's lived out. So we just want to take what we've gained and go live it out, and you're in a great place to do that. So I do want to remind you that we are off next week. We do not meet the 12th of February. We will meet the 19th, and we're going to be in 1 John. And so when you come back on the 19th, go directly to your huddles. Don't come in here. We're going to be back just like we are on our normal schedule. So you'll go there, and we will do on the 19th the first lesson in 1 John. And you guys who've been in these studies, you know how that is. If you haven't been in one of those studies before, those first ones are longer than normal, because they tell you things like skim the book of Acts, right? I'm going to tell you, skim all the chapters. I've 20 some years of doing these studies, I don't really know how you skim the book of Acts, in one day. But anyway, you're going to read through the whole book of 1 John on that first week, and they're just longer. But you got 2 weeks to do it, so That's the end of my announcements for tonight. And Ray Kleinbell is going to come up after we watch the Chip Ingram video tonight on how God measures generosity. So let's listen to Chip Ingram, and then Ray Kleinbell is going to come and sing for us, and we'll move on from there.
Welcome to session 4 of the Genius of Generosity. And I've been thinking since we were together last time, how does God measure generosity? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if there was a measuring stick and you wanted to know, how does God measure if you're really generous or not? I remember earlier in the book, I shared sort of my journey, and early in my journey, I was giving 30% of my income away, and I thought like I was one pretty generous person. And what I realized was my heart wasn't in the right place. And because of how much I was making and the margin that I had, it really wasn't much of a sacrifice. And so how does God measure generosity? Well, if you will, open your books, chapter 4, where it says discussion and reflection, and then open your Bible and to Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. And in one snapshot, one brief snapshot, the creator of the universe in human form, the God-man Jesus, will find himself looking over to a woman. And the woman is dropping money in a box. The situation is many people, wealthy people, dropping large amounts of money in the box. And I'm sure generously giving and caring and wanting to honor God with what they have, obeying the law, doing what God wants them to do. But I mean, when you think the Son of Man stops and says, wait, disciples, right there, you see that? Come over, I gotta show you something. And follow along in Luke chapter 21, the first 4 verses. This is what it says. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put more in than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, do you understand what he just said here? She gave more than they gave. And at first look, I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a second, Jesus, your math is not very good. They gave a lot more money, and she gave 2 small copper coins. How can you say that she gave more? Well, see, God doesn't measure generosity the way we do. God doesn't measure generosity by the amount that we give, but by the amount of our sacrifice. I mean, let me just lay this out for you as clearly as I can. Let's say there's 2 people, and let's say they make exactly the same amount of money. Let's make them good salary, $75,000 each. They live in exactly the same home, exactly the same number of children, exactly the same expenses, okay? I mean, they're completely parallel. One person gives 4% of their salary. The other person gives 15% of their salary. Who's the most generous? See, we don't like to say it like that, but on the exact same salary, it takes more sacrifice if you give more. And what Jesus was saying is, at the end of the day, it's not how much you give. Some of us can give thousands and thousands of dollars. It has zero impact on our lifestyle. Some people give a few dollars or maybe hundreds of dollars in the course of a year. It has tremendous impact on how they actually live. The size of the gift is not how God measures generosity. It's the size of the sacrifice. So with that, how are you doing in your journey of generosity? Are you a generous person? When's the last time you gave of your money or your time or something that you possess? It was hard. I mean, it was a sacrifice. Your life was going to be different because you gave that. Jesus is teaching us that's when you're beginning to hit pay dirt. In fact, you may have seen the graphic in this chapter. It's called the Generosity Staircase. I'd like you to turn back a few pages, and I want you to look at that because this is the big lesson. This is the takeaway, literally, of this chapter, but this is the major takeaway of the whole book. I remember doing a conference, and it was a conference with a number of very, very wealthy people for a ministry, and I taught on the genius of generosity. And in the very first session, I told them, this is not about money. And this group of very wealthy people rolled their eyes and said, yeah, right. In fact, it was a fundraising event, so it was pretty audacious, I suppose, to talk about the genius of generosity, and even more audacious to say, I really want you to know, this is not about money. And, you know, I got some little snide comments, and they were giving me a hard time, but we knew each other, they love me, I love them, and they said, okay, yeah, sure. Well, when I got to this teaching, I remember a lady coming up afterwards, and she looked me in the eye, and she was a generous woman. And she was a woman who'd given very generously out of great wealth to many organizations, her church, and many people. And I think she really felt in her heart, I've been very generous. And she looked me in the eye, and she said, you know, when you said this isn't about money, I thought to myself, and I want to give it. So I wasn't bad or mad at you. But she goes, I thought to myself, you got to be kidding. It's all about money. When you got done today, I just realized it's not about money at all. You see, the graduate course in generosity is the way the most generous being in all the universe, God Himself, chose to bring His greatest gift to us. And you see that staircase, and you look at the bottom, and the Magi come, and what do they bring? They bring money. Those are your training wheels. I mean, if I can't give my money, I'll never give my time. You know, and if I don't give my time, I'll never give my reputation. I mean, God chose. And I love the parallel here. With each level of giving, there's an extended or deeper level of revelation. You might, you know, actually draw a line on that staircase, and on the left side of that line, write, deeper revelation. And then on the other side, draw a line on the staircase and write, deeper sacrifice. As the sacrifice and generosity goes up, God reveals more and more of Himself to those people. And so this whole series has not been about how to get you to give more money. This is about how smart, genius people live who want intimacy with God, who want their life to count, who want to end up standing before a holy God and Jesus Himself saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so it begins with my money. And so, of course, I need to give the first portion of a tithe, but I want to be on a generosity journey. I want to learn to give when there's a real cost. And that starts with my money, and then it goes to my time. Where does your time go? We can be generous with our money, but stingy with our time. And so we find that the shepherds give their time. I mean, they left the sheep. There was risk. They took their time. But as the Magi saw a star, what did the shepherds get to do? They were the first ever to tell the news of the Savior of the world has come. They were the first evangelists. And then it goes beyond that to Joseph, who gives his reputation. I mean, we read these little stories in the Bible as though, oh, these are sort of fictional people, and, you know, I guess that was sort of hard. I mean, put yourself in Joseph's place. They thought he was a fool. You're going to marry this girl who's pregnant? I mean, don't you have, you know what kind of girl she is? Do you understand what we think you are? Not only you're not very smart, you know, I mean, he's lost his reputation. He was willing to give up what people think about him. He was willing to release that, to obey God, and to love Mary, and to fulfill God's plan. Why? He believed. He believed what the angel said. You know what? I've met some doctors that have been willing to do that, and they've walked away from a very lucrative opportunity in a hospital that does abortions. And they say, you know what? I will not work in this hospital because it does abortions. And they have had their reputation smeared, and their careers go in a different direction. I've known business people who have stepped up. I know one man in particular at one of the most major corporations all of America, and an event occurred, and it violated an ethical standard. And he said, we can't do that. We've said we wouldn't. But the discipline would have been to very high-ranking officials. And the CEO and the board said, well, we can't. I mean, you know, I know we have that principle, but we can't follow it now. We'd lose some of our best people. And he said, well, you just lost one of them. And he resigned. He was willing to give up his reputation and his career. That's generosity. Or you get to Mary, you know. She gave up her future. I mean, she was a young gal. She had a heart. She had a dream. There was a picture of a young Jewish boy in sort of our version of a picket fence and what her dreams would be like. And she said to God, be it unto me according to your word. My life's a stewardship. It's not just your money. It's not just your time. It's not just your reputation. It's my life, my future. God, whatever you want, I'm yours. And what did Mary get to experience? She got to experience being the mother of Jesus. She got to raise the Son of God. She got to look into his eyes. She got to have experiences and intimacy with God like few people ever, ever, ever have or ever will, because she was willing to give her future. It goes on beyond, and Jesus gave his life. You know, it says, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus would actually teach you and me as his followers, unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears forth much fruit. Do you understand? When God's evaluating generosity, what he's asking is for your life, beyond your life, your most precious possession. Recently, my wife went through a bout with breast cancer. And I had to walk through, am I willing, with a good attitude, I don't want to lose my wife. I've had a couple of my kids go into careers and take some steps that had to do with ministry and going far away from me and living in a different city. Are you willing to release your life and your most precious possessions and say, I so believe that you're a good God. I believe that you're a God of grace and glory. I believe that no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. That Psalm 84:11 has been the bedrock of generosity in my life. So let me ask you, how generous are you, really? I mean, we can answer these questions in this book, but at the end of the day, the journey is a Romans 12:1 moment for you. You know what God really wants? You know, you thought this was about money. You thought this was about proportions. You know what God really wants? He wants you to say, Father, it'll show up in my money. It'll show up in my time. My reputation, my future, it's all out there. But I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice in view of your grace, holy and acceptable to you. All that I am, all that I have, this is your reasonable service of worship. This is what you really want from me. Have you ever done that? That's the bedrock of generosity. That's the genius. That's the give. And it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over back into your lap. It's not an act. It's not something that you do. Generosity is the way that you live. When the Spirit of the living God inside of you is given the freedom to express his love and generosity and focus toward others. And you know, like everything, it's a habit. We unconsciously have habits where we live for ourselves. And so application number one for the next 21 days, okay, every day, I want you to do one specific act of generosity. I mean, you can look at that staircase and you can decide it can be money, it can be reputation, it can be your future, I don't know. For 21 days, just mark, get a calendar out and just write on it, maybe even in a code so no one knows. One small act of generosity every day for 21 days, and it'll change how you begin to think. The last thing I want you to do is, if you haven't done that project, if you haven't come together and said, who are we going to help? And don't make it so big and so bureaucratic that you never get around to it. Maybe it's just a widow at the church. Maybe it's a single mom. Maybe it's a young guy going away to college and you just get together and pay for his books. You know, maybe it's a homeless situation and you decide, as a group in our church did recently, they made sandwiches and they went on Saturday to a park where all the homeless people were, and it was a small group, and they made sandwiches and served lemonade and just sat and talked and treated them like real people with real dignity. And then they came back and they shared with us that God did more in them than it did in those homeless people. And I just have to tell you, that's my heart for you in this whole series. That's God's heart for you. He longs for you to be generous for your good and for his glory. And the way God measures generosity is very simple. It's not the size of the gift. Is the size of the sacrifice. And that's, in fact, the very first question I want you to discuss. If, in fact, that's true, what might sacrificial generosity look like for you? Are there any steps you sense God is asking you to take to make your generosity more sacrificial? Why don't you discuss that question and then act on it? Thanks for giving me the privilege of being in your group, and I believe God's got a great plan for your life.
Good evening. Hope everyone's doing well. A song came to me yesterday morning. I had my clock radio set for 5:57 to the Bible Broadcasting Network. And the first song during the weekdays is To God Be the Glory. When it went off yesterday morning, I was taking another 5 minutes snooze. And then I heard this song, Acres of Diamonds, come over. And I listened to it. And I nudged Emery. She was still trying to get her little, cat nap before we got up. And she had been listening to it. And I said, that fits our genius of generosity. She said, it sure does. So I got real excited. And after church, I found the words. And then I couldn't find the music. Couldn't find the chords and the structure and stuff. But I found video on YouTube, and I put it out on Facebook, and Greg must have seen it because he sent me a text this morning and said, are you going to sing this tonight? I said, no. And he said, are you sure? So here I am. We're going to try to sing it. And the way I want to do it tonight, I want to sing the verse and chorus and then ask you to join me and sing the same verse and chorus, and we'll learn a song together. And do something a little bit different tonight. But this Acres of Diamond has two beginnings. One goes back to 1843, the birth of Russell Herman Conwell. And he was born in Massachusetts. He went to Yale. He fought in the Civil War, lots of achievements, became the first pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And he also was the founder of Temple University itself. So there's a lot about him. He later wrote this book called Acres of Diamonds. I don't know if any of you have read that book. I've had my hands on it. I've seen the book, but never read it. So I looked at it. I'm not going to tell you a lot about it right now. You go home and you can find the book, but I'm going to read it. I recommend you read it. But he wrote a story. There's a story about that his ministry started with a 57-cent church. And the little story is printed for you, and I'm going to let you read that and take that home and study that and think about that, because it's going to remind you of the widow's mites right quickly. The other part of the story about this song is Arthur Smith in Charlotte, North Carolina, compiled this song and put it the words and the music together back in the 50s. And if those that are a little bit older might remember Arthur Smith from the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, he had the first recording music studio in the Southeast in the United States. He had a program, morning program, many shows, national syndicate on CBS. He's got a story himself. Authored over 600 songs, 300 were published and really are still around, being used. And you might remember the fiddling banjos. How many remember fiddling banjos? Well, it later became dueling banjos. Remember the movie? Okay. He and Lester Flatt wrote that song. So that gives you, he was known as the boogie banjo, because that was his nickname. So he wrote a lot of country songs, but he wrote a lot of gospel songs. So here's the song, and we'll sing it. I'll sing it, and I'm still learning it, so bear with me. My wife said she would not come and play for me, so I got to do this the Mexican way, Acapulco. So just bear with me with that part, and then I'll ask you to stand and sing it again with me. Do what? came. Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All these together, won by you or me. Peace when we're sleeping, or a conscience that's free. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money can't buy. If you have Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. How about standing with me and singing this together, okay? Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All those together, when by you or me. Peace when we're sleeping, or a conscience that's free. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money can't buy. If you have Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds, mountains of gold.
Thank you, Ray. You guys did a great job catching on to a new song. We're getting ready to watch what I think is probably one of the most powerful videos, probably the most powerful video of the four that you're gonna watch. Really is a 21st century example of the Macedonian giving that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 8. So let's watch that video, and then when that's over, we can move to our huddles. Thank you.
As I reflect back on the journey of my life, I think about how God directed me to Kampala for that workshop. I had a burden for my church to give from their hearts and not out of duty. But I never thought it would take such a horrible situation for me and my town to realize that we all needed to change.
In 2001, the ADF army overtook many regions of western Uganda, forcing over 80,000 survivors into the turmoil and destitution of refugee camps. As the war raged on, hope along with the moral fiber of the people faded. But there was one who chose to inspire through generosity and gracious giving, and this is his story.
My name is Hannington Bahemuka, but most people call me Bishop Hannington. The life in the camps was very bad because families would crowd in the shack houses, children would go without food for 1, 2, 3 days, water was not available, and death started resulting within a short time.
How can I, Lord? How can I help them out of this situation?
While everything around him was disintegrating, war could not destroy Hannington's commitment to effective stewardship.
The Lord spoke to my heart about putting into practice what I had learned at the International Steward Workshop. I had been taught that everything we have belongs to God. So even in this refugee camp, God has put abundant resources for his work. So I called upon the believers to start sharing what they have with the needy.
Bishop Huntington Bahemuka, Atule Akutule Teragabagenba Twege Siakigambo Kyokugaba.
In the camps, we started a campaign to provide blankets to the orphans, and it was the first time we saw the principles come to life.
Niwagabale kurungi. Nkamumanya nangakanya mbatina ku.
After 2 miserable years in captivity, it was safe to return home to Bundibugyo, only to find that all had been destroyed.
The houses had been torn down, the farms had nothing in them, churches had been demolished, schools were devastated, so we started from scratch.
Tukabatole omukasumia komu hito kubona bona nama junega kaniye. However, zebo ebitule nabiyo makanisa, abantu kyabanguhera kuhayo sente.
The need seemed too great, leaving the people asking the all too common question, how can the people from the West help us? However, Huntington inspired his people to ask a different question.
I asked, how soon can my people rise to the challenge of funding not only their immediate needs, but their futures as well? I told the people at that time that God has given us everything we need to rebuild our community. And what he needed was others to make themselves available to him, and he was going to use us.
And those of us who are mechanics, those of us who are business people, they can use their gifts and the trade that they have to build their community.
He taught us about giving, and through that, the pastors went around teaching. So through that, the message was spread.
Anagua dumbi na tuwa mkwe kwati ya mukama, nengu bisianja kantigi yesio na kolaki. Dumbi, obutuwa gulia nyanya, mtu kwela, mtu bale, kitoko bale.
One by one, person by person, the idea caught on, and before they knew it, the town was being transformed.
We began to rebuild our churches, provided homes and schooling for the orphans, and the needs of the people were met.
The people understood that they needed to create wealth in order to allow for tangible generosity. By using their God-given gifts and resources they already possessed, a cycle of sustainability was established.
We have a lady in our church. She is lame, but one day we were calling upon people to bring their gifts to come and build a church.
Katanika, bakazeba tiakweka, mshima wanjike kina yankoko, mana wanjika mwibiyare. Mkamwaya abuwa mana wanjine kanisha kutu yambu.
And today, the church she worships in is made of bricks, and we look at that as a wonderful example of gracious giving.
Tingisie kavo kandi tukwegua gato ongera kimo korera ruhanga mu mukyalo ngabani jaya tungo kutoka.
And this message can work in every situation, in every country, because surely generosity is transformational.
Out of the jungle of war and destruction, one pioneer leader inspired by generosity shared the vision with his community. No longer waiting for outside relief, the grace of giving has replaced a welfare mentality, and an entire town was rebuilt.